And again, I have here Artis Sosis from Latvia. Hello, Artis.
Yeah, hello. And since you don't have a lower third, I should say, tell everyone that you are Mario Lemos. No, just in case.
Oh, no, my mother will discover me. Okay, thank you for coming once again. We have several interesting topics to talk about. I guess this month we don't have as many topics in the past because now that PHP 7 is PHP 7 features are frozen. We don't have many proposals to talk about. At least for PHP 7, they are the list is closed, but we have some new proposals to or improvements for future versions. So let's get started with this. First, we, as always, we cover a bit about the latest PHP releases, which again, as always, we don't have much to talk about them. Just to mention that PHP 5.4, as we know, is in security releases mode. So only security bugs were fixed, as you may be seeing here. I don't know if I need to increase the font. Is not increasing or increase, it is increasing, but this is a bit slow. Okay, there is not really much to talk about. There are some vulnerabilities that were fixed,
Yeah.
So, you as always, if you are using PHP 5.4, you should upgrade. Especially if these bugs affect your PHP environment. And for PHP 5.5, there are, well, almost same security bugs being fixed, but...
And CURL has implemented HTTP2 support, if anyone's interested.
Oh, I see, it's curl. Well, this is interesting, but anyway, it's a feature of a library. I don't know what in practice this means. Let's take a look at these leaks. So, it's just a bug report. I don't know in practice what this implies in terms of features of the curl library. Maybe it's just an internal implementation that it can send requests to servers that support HTTP2.
Yeah.
But other than that, there is nothing that I think it is worth mentioning here. There are lots of bug fixes, and this is PHP 5.5.24. As for PHP 5.6, we have 5.6.8. And the idea is practically the same as 5.5, except it is a newer version. And so the bug fixes are practically the same. So as you may be aware already mentioned here, once PHP 7 is released, probably in October, November, we don't know exact day, but that's the planned release time. Maybe if there are no surprises, it probably won't take that much to release. And so by then, they will stop. When they release PHP 7.0, they will stop releasing newer versions of PHP 5.4. So
actually, a little maybe off topic about PHP versions. I've got some of complaints from my friends, colleagues who developed websites for a long time that their older websites developed are not working anymore, and mostly because servers are upgrading to PHP 5.5 and they don't use MySQL extension anymore. So it seems that my point is that all servers are actually, at least shared servers, are upgrading to PHP 5.5.
Yeah. Well, in reality, what they need to do is to switch to MySQLi.
Yeah, it's easy.
Yeah. Personally, I have a database abstraction library called Metabase that is also in PHP classes that I've been using. I developed it since probably 1999, and it has drivers. And some time ago, a user asked me to support MySQLi, so I had the driver for that. The package has a unit test suite that effectively tests lots of features, including some that require inserting queries in the databases. There are some people that follow a strict rule to not implement tests that access databases, but they use mock objects. But for this type of package, if I'm not testing the queries, what else am I going to test? There isn't much to test there. So it tests everything, tests transactions, tests the conversion of values that need to be escaped. And so everything needs to work. And so most of the tests are processing, executing queries to do that. So
actually, there would be an interesting idea. I don't know, maybe PHP classes already have the class that would wrap MySQLi API under MySQL API, so somebody could just, I don't know, add the file and their other projects would magically work or something like that.
Well, I think there is an innovative class that does exactly that.
Yeah?
If I'm not mistaken, I could try to look at it very quickly. If the browser here responds, if you're not asking too much, let me check very quickly here. I think there's a package that was nominated last year that does that. Sources, username.
Yeah, because it would be a great temporary fix just to add it to the project and let it work as it was and then fix it someday.
Maybe I was dreaming, but I think there was something that would. It's not for MySQLi, but for PDO. So if you don't have MySQL, there is a package by Assis Hussain. Let me share the screen here, not that you're talking about. So. It provides wrapper functions that use PDO to access MySQL databases. I don't know if the example can show you. No. There was an example here. Okay. So this is actually a package of 2013. So it's not even a new thing.
Yeah.
Basically, you just include some classes in the beginning, and then it provides you the MySQL functions even if they are not enabled.
Okay, that's awesome. We recommend it to my colleagues.
Yeah. Well, maybe they should stop being lazy and move to MySQLi. There are some differences. It's not exactly.
Adding I in the end of the function, right?
Exactly. That's not exactly the way it works, but it's almost it for most cases.
Who wants to dive into a 10-year or more old project to just fix something like that? Come on.
Yeah, it's probably lots of code to fix. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't help warning developers that with years in advance that the MySQL extension will be dropped?
No, doesn't help.
It doesn't help because somebody has to pay for the maintenance work. It's sometimes the companies that hire them to pay for the development of the project don't want to pay to do some maintenance work that will not have any features, any enhancements, but it has to be done. And since it costs money for the companies, sometimes they are tight on budgets and then they want to avoid it. And it's not just that, it will take them some time. So doing things like that will delay further the development. Anyway, we were talking about the newer PHP versions. We already mentioned PHP 5.6, so let's move on. Well, actually, PHP 5.6.8. I think I mentioned that. So let's move on to some other more specific topics. Some proposals here. And first, something that is not exactly a proposal, it's rather to make PHP 7 more consistent. And the idea is if you have a division by zero in PHP, currently it emits a warning, and carry on. And if you divide a number by zero, the result shouldn't be anything useful. So the idea is to turn this into exceptions. And I think this is more consistent now that we have also exceptions on the engine. I mean, the actual PHP code that throws exceptions, that has errors may throw exceptions. I don't know if a division by zero is could be considered a engine exception. Well, anyway, the idea is to have this feature changed to make it more consistent. They also mentioned something that I don't use this type of math, using bit shifts, and they are saying that negative shifts should not be accepted, negative offsets for the shift. Arthur, do you ever use bit shifts in your code?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, sometimes this is a practice that you used to probably do when you are programming in C, because you need to have a number that has a bunch of bits that are flags, and you pack them all in a single variable, and sometimes to determine the exact bit that you want to turn on or turn off, you need to use a bit mask, and then you use bit shifts to create that mask. And what is saying here is that currently PHP accepts negative offsets. Bit shifts could be to the left or to the right, and so if you want to shift to the right, you just use the right operator. You don't need to have negative offsets, unless you have some weird logic on your applications. Anyway, I think at least the division by zero makes sense to fix and make it an exception, so PHP can use catch statements to also catch these eventual bugs that cause divisions by zero. And okay, now let's talk about another topic, which is more about a new proposal targeted to PHP 7.x, so it could be 7.1, 7.2, or whatever, something for the future. This is still a proposal, and this proposal is to have static constructors, static class constructors. So there is an introduction here that talks about currently how it works. In general, when you make static calls, you don't create objects. You just call the class directly. But maybe in some cases, you may need to initialize some code. So the proposal here is to have something like I think it is
here it is.
_ _static.
Yep.
Here. So you would have this function where you would initialize properties, and this function, if present, it would be called on the first call to either the object constructor or any public or protected static method. So the idea is to do something suitable for your application that makes sense to initialize something related with static properties or so.
Yeah, at first I thought that it actually, well, does not really make sense. If you need some state variables, then you could define them in the class and then use it. But if you look at the way that that class, for example, need to initialize the variables from database, then yeah, it would be much easier to have a static constructor rather than call init function somewhere in the beginning and then use it later. It would be more handy that way. I'm just not sure why static would also be called on object constructor, because if you are using constructor, you're initializing an object that won't be static anymore. So why use it in there?
Well, I don't know. Maybe the when you use the class without static calls, maybe you may have some static properties inside that you need to initialize for some reason.
Okay, makes sense.
Well, I don't know. That's the only thing that it comes to my mind about this. Okay, so let's move on now with the next topic, on which you comment about a site that was created. It was already some time ago, but since we had so many topics in the past episode, we decided to postpone this, but it is interesting. We are always talking about proposals, RFCs, and so. So here is a site, I think it was created by Benjamin Everley, if I'm not making any mistake spelling his name. Anyway, it's called PHP RFC Watch. And the idea is to list the activity around the RFC proposals. You can see the latest votes, and on the left and on the right, you can see the how it is going, the votes of certain proposals. And this is interesting, although I think it could be better. For instance, if I want to know what are the latest proposals, I don't need to know all the votes that happened. I just want to know about these proposals, either that were submitted or are being voted.
Yeah, basically, I would want to switch both those fields and make the RFCs the field bigger, and who voted for what smaller, like a feed.
Yeah.
On the side.
It would be interesting to at least have some user interface buttons to see just what you want to see.
Yeah, order and filter.
Yeah, this is a new project, and what was done by volunteers, and it is on GitHub. If you want to help make it better, there is a link here, a button or ribbon or whatever this is called, to fork the project on GitHub, so you can submit patches.
Yeah, I think it basically was meant a little different than we want to use it. It was meant more like a Twitter feed for what's happening, what vote opened, what vote closed in the timeline, and who voted for what.
Well, exactly. Well, I don't know. I was trying to refresh the page here to see, but it seems the last vote is 7 days ago. I don't know if the site is stalled or there is really no votes after that. I don't know. Or maybe it is just like that because there are no more proposals for PHP 7.0 to be voted.
If we click on improve the error callback mechanism, then it says that voting, no, it doesn't say anything, I can't find anything.
Well, this proposal
voting. Status is voting, so nobody voted yet. There are 11 people voted, and there are 11 there. So yeah, nobody voted for that. So no activity for the past 7 days on the voting also.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. This is just it's an interesting project. Just could be better, but if anybody wants to help make it better, just fork on GitHub and submit patches. I think the author put it there because it is open to contributions.
Yep.
Okay, now moving on to another topic, which is a curious one. There is this supposedly mobile app that was created. I don't know, I'm trying to share this the video here. Can you listen?
No, I didn't hear anything.
No, I don't. I think I can share the screen, but not
the sound.
Yeah. Is it maximized?
Yep.
Well, if you are not listening what the guy is saying, basically, this is Jeremy McCullough, a contributor at PHP. And he's coming with an app that allows you to vote on RFCs just swiping on the mobile application. So the only small detail is that this application was released on April 1st.
Yeah, that raises a flag, red flag.
Yeah. Yeah, and you can find this application anywhere.
But it's probably meant only for PHP internals. That's why you can find it.
Yeah, and another detail is that the guy is smiling when he's presenting the proposal.
So I actually read a Reddit thread on this one, and there was an interesting comment. Let me quote it. I can see the potential as a dating app. You meet only people who agree on the same RFCs. No more awkward scour types debate on the first date.
Yes, actually, that would be funny. Well, anyway, this is just a curiosity, because now this month we don't have as many topics to talk about. So I thought it wouldn't hurt to comment about this joke application. And if you do not find this application anywhere, it's because it doesn't exist. So you cannot vote with a swipe on RFCs. Let's move on to another topic. This one is more related with PHP classes, but also with the PHP community in general. So let me share the screen here about an article that I wrote to tell people about this. First, let me share the screen here. So that article is have your PHP book reviewed. It was published recently these days, because there are a couple of initiatives that the PHP classes is sort of reviving. They are not new, they are just being revived. The first is to have more new book reviews on the book review section of the PHP classes site. So the idea is to encourage authors that have books that they have released and they need some exposure to release their, to make review copies available to potential book reviewers. And the reason for this is that I don't know, Artus, if you ever written a book. Did you publish any book?
Yeah, but not for PHP.
Yeah.
But for Lua.
Oh, okay. Did you get rich?
Almost. But no.
Almost means you need to write a lot of more books.
Yeah, like a million more books, and I'll get there.
Yeah, exactly. Well, the problem is that we are developers, we are not marketers, and nowadays publishers don't have a great budget to invest on specific books unless they are really, really potential best sellers. So it's basically up to the author to find ways to promote his book in as many places as he can. So I thought it would also be useful to take advantage of this section of the PHP Classes site that can list books to be reviewed. This section was implemented many years ago, but there were some books listed there and reviewed some years ago. But the idea was to get some additional revenue from affiliate commissions. It didn't work well because it's not easy to get decent money from affiliate commission, so I ended up not publishing much books there. But
I actually forgot that PHP classes actually had that functionality. I was always so concentrated on classes that it kind of slipped my mind that, yeah, you could actually review the books there.
Yeah, it's a very old function of the site. And since it would not pay for me to publish book reviews, I thought, well, maybe if there is some other people that want to review the books, then I could make it open to find reviewers for the books that writers have and would like to get greater exposure. So the idea is to bring books to book reviewers, so the books get a decent exposure. And so the article lets authors know all they can get their book reviewed. As a matter of fact, there are several books being reviewed right now, and the reviews will be probably released like next week or so.
Should probably also contact publishers like Pact and APRS, because they are looking for reviewers a lot.
Yes, no, we actually, because the Innovation Award, we already contact Pact and O'Reilly. And depending on the books that the reviewers may be interested to review, I can also contact others. Recently, I got a contact from an author that has published a book on LeanPub, and we already found a reviewer for him. So it is just a matter of getting the book for review and have it published. Mm-hmm. The site will try to encourage some reviewers to approach, so they can get some compensation, which can be in form of getting free review copies, even printed version ones. In some places, there are some publishers that give away free printed versions, like Pact. Others not so much, because it's also expensive for them to send printed versions, but you can always try to ask the publishers to get the eventual printed versions if they are important, because many users now do not want printed versions anymore. And another type of compensation is to pay us a monetary amount to be agreed. The PHP classes would pay that amount, and that amount is funded using revenue from advertising. If possible, that can also be complemented with affiliate commissions, but since we don't know if they will work well these days, it probably depends on the interest of the book. The site is not depending on having affiliate commissions revenue to provide monetary compensation. So this is one thing that will hopefully attract more reviewers, because reviewing a book also takes time. It's not like just you are having fun reading the book. Producing the actual review will also take time. So if you are interested to become a reviewer, you should contact the site. There is send an email message just to express your interest. You must be qualified enough to make a review. You should be able to write English correctly. You do not need to be perfect, because the review itself will be reviewed before being published, so any mistakes will be fixed, so that's not a problem. You don't have to write perfect English. You just need to be available to write the reviews. And if it is all right, you, as a reviewer, get a review copy, and you have some time to produce that review. Producing a review, it's not hard, because you just need to write a small text that
you need to read the book first.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, to write the actual review, it's relatively simple. You need to just cover the topics that the book is about. Tell a bit about those topics to the people that will be reading the review, understand the importance of the topics, and then you express your opinion about the quality of the books, recommending it, the book, if you found it is interesting. So we tend to review books that are potentially very interesting, so most of the reviews will present recommendations for people to get the book, if it makes sense for them. And that is that simple. And another thing that I also mentioned in this article is that starting a few weeks ago, the site started accepting tutorial articles that are published on the site blog. They are more in-depth articles. They are not like reviews that probably only have a few paragraphs. Tutorial articles are more in depth. We have been talking about a few already published it. And for this, if you are into write nice tutorial articles, the PHP classes also pays a monetary amount to be agreed. And if you want to publish a tutorial article, the site can send you an invitation. But these invitations for writing tutorial articles currently are restricted to contributors of the site. For instance, people that already have submitted packages, and because that will help to verify that you are qualified enough to talk about the topics. So if you are a contributor, you probably have already received an invitation. Artus, did you get your invitation?
Yeah, I think so. I got an email.
Yeah. So if you have time and interest to write about interesting topics related with PHP or web development in general, it doesn't need to be PHP. It could be something about JavaScript, for instance, or mobile development or something like that. If you would like to write those articles, you get an invitation, and the invitation will show you a URL where you can submit a proposal. There is already a queue of articles being proposed, and they will be written and approved in the next weeks. Some were already approved and published. Finally, in this article, I just want to mention that the site also publish sponsored articles about commercial products. And as you may have noticed, we have some occasional sponsors that post articles on the site. In this case, these articles are paid. There is a fee. If you contact the site, I'll let you know about the details. Because there are sponsors that do not just want to sponsor an article, they also want to sponsor the podcast. so they can be mentioned. Like in last month, we comment about the HipChat application that was a sponsored participation. And if you are interested, you can contact the site so you can be aware of the terms and conditions and timelines, and hopefully you get a great exposure to your company. I know there are a couple of sponsors that they already scheduled participations, not this month, but I think probably next month we already have some participation. So now back to the actual articles of the site that we have been publishing. First, there is an article, an interesting article, this one by Aslam Mahmoud. I'm going to share the screen here. Okay, this article is talking about an interesting problem that maybe you already experienced, but you couldn't figure what it was and let it go just like that, which is basically due to a matter of sending AJAX requests from your site web pages. And if you use PHP sections, you may have experienced some delays in responding to those pages. So Aslam Mahmoud has written this article to talk about this problem, which is basically caused, as he mentioned here in the cause section, about by the fact that when you use the default PHP sections, which are implemented with files, they cause locks. And those locks may hold simultaneous requests for a bit, and then when the locks are released, when the scripts exit, the locks are released, and then the all AJAX requests tend to respond at once. So understanding this problem, he suggested that the solution is to use the session write close function, which is a function that will unlock implicitly unlock the sessions. And this is an interesting article. Many people have commented, as I might show you below, and including some people proposed that instead of using the default section handler that stores sessions in files, to store the sessions in databases. Well, to do it right, database session handlers should use transactions. So if you have if you have simultaneous accesses to a single page, one access would not make the information on the database inconsistent. So it is the same problem. The reason why some people are telling to not to use databases is that because they don't use transactions, and this is bad because at least for concurrent highly concurrent applications, yeah, that have many simultaneous requests, you could be having problems because some accesses may be changing the information that you are showing, and all is inconsistent. Well, anyway, this is an interesting article, and regardless of whether you use files or databases, the solution here is to use the session write close function to address this problem. Arthur, did you ever experience this problem, or if you experienced it, you were not aware?
I don't think that I did, because, well, if you are not using AJAX, you're just sending single HTTP request on each page view, and it responds to the log session file, so there is no actual problem. For AJAX, there is a problem because there could be simultaneous HTTP requests from the same user that will use the same session file. But once I started using AJAX, I also moved to Node.js, so I didn't have that problem. But the bottom line here is don't use session files in productions and large volume traffic websites. And even if you are not using them, still be aware of the problem that when you are using sessions that for the same user, it will lock something up and you would need to find a way around it.
Yeah. Well, the main problem using files is not so much about the locking, but more about their files are not suitable for distributed environments on which you have multiple servers. And if you want to access session data and you have multiple servers and you're storing files which are local to each server, changes done on one request may not be seen on changes on session done on another request that was served by a different server.
Basically, so, if you're using load balancer, that will might redirect you to one server or another server based on the load, you would have different values.
So ideally, you probably use something more suitable. It could be databases, but sometimes databases for this purpose are slow. You could use memcache or some other distributed memory system that makes things faster. They take more memory, but at least they are faster and they are more suitable for environments with load balancing.
I never actually liked session implementation, not in PHP, but generally what you can achieve in HTTP requests. So it kind of seems wrong to me, but there is nothing, no better way we can do it.
Yeah, I think this session thing started because AESP provided sessions. And many years ago, somebody decided, oh, we are not going to lose because... Because ASP have sessions we don't, so somebody implemented sessions like this. But fortunately, in PHP, you can have session handlers. There are several session handler classes in PHP that allows you to store and retrieve session data from other types of storage, not just local files. And anyway, this article was more about the session locking problem caused implicitly when you start a session. So now that you are more aware of this problem, maybe you have a solution to fix any issue that you have. Okay, now moving on to another article, this time written by Dmitry Mamontov. Actually, he has written an article in past month about PHP daemons, creating daemon applications that stay there running at all times, and probably monitoring some information or processing requests. And this time it's a sort of a continuation of that article because it tells more how you can implement communication between processes. And processes are just instances of your program that are running on memory. So the inter-process communication could be between, for instance, a web script or a console script that wants to send a command to a daemon. So using this inter-process communication method that he mentions in the article, you can actually send commands to a daemon that is running. It can also be used to communicate between multiple instances of a daemon program that is running. Sometimes daemons need to start multiple processes just to handle information faster. And then you need to communicate between a master process and child processes, and you use inter-process communication methods to communicate between those instances. So what are these inter-process communication methods? Well, this article is geared towards mainly Unix-like environments like Linux or others. So it talks about resources available only on these environments. And for instance, it's not talking about how it would go in Windows. you are on Windows environments, you probably have other inter-process communication methods that are not mentioned in this article. So first, he talks about message queues, which are available on Unix systems that have System 5 IPC message queues. And then he shows some code how we can queue messages and how they would be handled or received. And but this, as Dimitri recommends, message queues are just for small messages. For larger messages, he recommends using shared memory. Shared memory are just blocks of memory that you can allocate and they have some access keys. And the other process can also access that shared memory blocks. So you can exchange data using shared memory. And this, he mentions that it would be more suitable for large, for exchanging large amounts of data. But since this is accessing shared memory needs to be done consistently, so for, so you don't have two processes accessing the same shared memory block and changing it at the same time, you need to use semaphores. And the semaphores are just a way to block the access of one process, access, for instance, shared memory, while other is doing some work on that shared memory. So this is basically what this article is about. It's a bit in depth. It is a bit technical, but I think it is very interesting. For those that were not familiar with this inter-process methods, communication methods, I think they will appreciate the knowledge that Dimitri has been sharing here, not only in this article, but also in the previous one about PHP demos.
Basically, when I read the previous article, I was, okay, you can do that, but why? Now, when after reading this article, I'm, okay, it opens much more possibilities what you can do with it, but I still have a question why, especially as a web developer who primarily used PHP for web page backends, then this is completely other usage, and I think many developers and visitors of the site would also ask the same question. So it would be great if Dmitry could provide a follow-up article and just blow our minds with different ways that you can achieve with such implementations.
Yeah, that could be interesting. I don't know if it has time, but definitely I'll pass in this suggestion. I think these articles were already written sometime. Probably they were written in Russian because it's from Russian. And but I'll definitely ask him if he has any articles that can follow up and talking about this. So now you are going to move on with the Innovation Award winners. This time, starting with the JavaScript Innovation Award, we'll be talking about the nominees of February, so packages that were published in February. Then in March, they were voted, and then in April, the results came out. So now we can talk about them. And for JavaScript, we started getting more packages, fortunately. As I mentioned before, there has been a growth in submissions. And this month we had three nominees. Since the first one is written by Artus Sosins himself, Artus, would you like to start and talk about your package?
Sure. Let me just submit. We do. So yeah, basically what this JavaScript component does, it allows you to control your TVs, different TV that are listed there, Philips, LG, from your browser. For why such class, I can answer that I work on another third-party project, mym.io, which stands for, I think, Make Your Magic, where we develop a magic wand controller to control different devices. And my objective is to integrate it with third-party services. So I started with TVs, and interesting fact that they all share the same environment that you could all do in JavaScript. And I thought, why not? Let's create such class. So basically here it is. And yeah, probably you can't really demo anything right now. My TVs are off. But yeah, you can select the TVs, and then it would query what keys it could send or send the text, and you could do all from your browser if your TV of course supports it. LG's with WebOS and Netcast, and Philips TV with Joint Space API, which I think all the newest TV have.
Yeah, it is. I found it very curious and innovative, because I've never seen anything like this before. I didn't know you could control a TV from your network. I suppose TVs have web servers to accept those requests, right?
Yeah, you can discover all TV using UPnP. Unfortunately, you can't do that in browser. That's why you need to set IP address directly. But then, yeah, they are controlled either REST APIs or WebSockets and stuff like that.
So you don't have any means to discover the IP address automatically. You need to figure it manually.
Yeah, because HTTP request can't send this msearch header to make UPnP devices respond, and even if they respond, it can't receive it. Basically, there are lots of problems in communication, but all other is possible.
Yeah. Well, that was very interesting. And on my behalf, I also like to comment about the other two packages. The first one is from Ovidio Bocar from United Kingdom, and he created a simple package that can help you to put links to share web pages on social media pages, and this package, that's what it does, and it uses the Bootstrap library to put to show some nice links icons near those links. It's a very simple package, but still innovative compared to what you have on the site. So congratulations for Ovidio Bocar, and he has picked a downloadable ebook by O'Reilly. And the other package that I want to comment, this one is not trivial to understand. It is a package by Jason Griffin from the United States. He has been a nice contributor with several nominated packages. And what it provides is a package that uses Node.js to monitor the activity for instance, a group of servers. So it connects to those servers via SSH, and he monitors the changes on log files and brings the content of those log files to a central server. So that's basically what it does. And Jason sent a package for this. We don't have many Node.js packages, so they are always welcome here, because Node.js is reasonably popular. So I encourage everybody else to send more innovative packages based on Node.js as well. Regarding the Innovation Award of 2015, actually these rankings already consider packages published on, I would say, March, right? And given that, we have here in the first place Suresh Kumar from India with 2 packages and 7 points, Anders Toth with 2 packages and 4 points, then Arthur comes with 1 package and 3 points, then Rian Silahi 1 package and 3 points, then Ovidio Bocar 1 package and 2 points, and then Jason Griffin with 1 package and 1 point. And by country, the ranking is more or less
basically the same.
Basically the same, because you still have a few packages, It's basically the same, countries. So, so we have India, Hungary, Latvia, Indonesia, United Kingdom, and United States by this order, with the same points that in packages that you mentioned before, because there is practically only one author per country that is listed that submitted packages. Well, next month, since we have more packages being nominated, this will become more interesting. Now we're going to talk about the Innovation Award PHP classes that is more competitive, as many more authors participating. Arthur, would you like to start talking about the your preferred nominees of February 2014?
Yep, let me zoom it right. Okay, so the first class I would want to mention is PHP Native Mobile App Dispatcher by Andrea Lechti from Switzerland. And what it does is that you could provide links to your apps for different platforms. And then when user visits the website, it determines your platform based on user agent and displays the proper link. So you could suggest to use native app instead of your website.
Yeah, so, this is very, very interesting. And because it addresses a problem that until you develop your own mobile applications, you don't know how to solve. Which is, for instance, if you have a website, but you also have a mobile application that provides a better user experience, you could redirect the user, but the user needs to go to the actual page to install that package. And depending on the device that you have, you need to go to the right page. And also, it needs to compute a sort of one-time password parameters to send you to those packages, to those pages of the applications. So this is very interesting. I even have mentioned this class in an article that I talk about adapting your websites to mobile. So if you're going to develop an application, you could use this package to redirect the user to the right page to install the applications on your device.
Yeah, and Andre got one copy of the Zen Studio for this package. Next one I wanted to comment is Fusion Charge PHP class by Lucas de Oliveira from Brazil. And as probably lots of PHP developers that are backend developers don't really like to mangle with the front-end code, then this class provides all that you need to generate Fusion charts, charts using Fusion Charts API. It will generate the code to use, and the usage seems to be quite simple. Like, as you see, you just take the class and provide it with the data. So that's why I like it. And Lucas got one downloadable copy of PHP ED Professional for this class. I think you're mute. Yeah. Oh, again. Yeah. That's this.
Well, sorry. I think on my behalf, I also have several packages to talk about. I'm going to start precisely by this one. This is the PHP DNS Sec Library, which is a package that deals with DNSSEC, which is a standard. My mouse is behaving by itself. I don't know why. Okay, here it goes.
It's a smart mouse.
Yeah, not very smart. Anyway, this is a package that is interesting because it does something that is advanced, that deals with the DNSSEC standard for dealing with public and private keys to create records, calculate values. And if you know about DNSSEC, you'll find this package useful. So you don't have to do it by yourself. But this is for people that deal with network configuration using DNS. And this is a package by Jan Altesen from Germany. And the, for this package, he has chosen a download a copy of Commodore IDE. Another package that I wanted to comment, this one by Till Wielski from Germany as well. He has a package that is called ASQLize CLI. This is basically to parse the command line arguments, which is something that many packages do, but he also does the opposite. He can reveal the user interface configuration. I mean, the command line string. So it allows you to parse an existing command line, alter, add some parameters, or remove, or parse, or do something useful, and then rewrite it so you can eventually pass it to another program that you wanted to edit the command line. So this can be useful to implement wrappers around programs, adding or removing some parameters. And congratulations to Till for this package. It is interesting. And for this, he picked a downloadable copy of Cold Lobster Editor Professional. Anyway, we are going to talk about the Innovation Award rankings for 2015. As I mentioned, this is a more competitive ranking. And so far, individually, Angel Liechti is leading with 2 packets, 16 points, followed by Wap Morgan, 2 packets and 14 points. Vladimir Zurit with 1 packet and 10 points. Javier Perez with 1 packet and 9 points. Then Raskin Vanyamin from Russian also with the same package and points. Then Roger Maniar also 1 package and 1 point. He's from India. Nadir Latif from Pakistan, 1 package and 8 points. Rafael Rodriguez, 2 packages and 8 points. Young Yuan Rui from Korea with 1 package and 8 points. Lucas Oliver from Brazil, 1 package and 8 points. So this ranking is evolving very quickly because there are many innovative packages being sent. And this contributed for the Innovation Award ranking by country to be also more competitive. So currently, Russia is leading with 3 packages and 23 points, followed by Switzerland with 2 packages and 16 points, then Brazil, 2 packages and 15 points, and then Germany, 3 packages and 11 points, then Venezuela with 2 packages and 11 points, Chile, 1 package and 10 points. India, 2 package and 10 points. Spain, 1 package and 9 points. Pakistan, 1 package and 8 points. And South Korea, 1 package and 8 points. So this year looks it will be very promising, especially because we have been having a growing number of innovative packages. Just now in April, we had like, I think, 16 nominees, which is a lot. And which raises another challenge because there are not as many sponsors. so somebody will not get prizes. Well, we'll see. Anyway, it's always great for people to participate and see them sending great packages, not just packages that do the same thing. So the original intention of promoting useful packages for new purposes of the Innovation Award is working well. So yeah, I think this is great. So with this, we practically ended this podcast. I also wanted to apologize to all authors that have been sending lots of packages because I am still catching up on the queue of approving all of them. I'm doing the best I can. But lately, I only been able to approve 2 packages, and there are like 30 packages in the queue. Ooh. Let's see if this goes well. One thing that I can anticipate, I'm planning to work on a new feature on the site that will allow authors that have more urgency to have their packages to be approved sooner. So they can request a priority as long as they have a certain repetition level. This is something to be implemented in the next weeks, months. Let's see how it goes. So with this, we practically ended this podcast. I'd like to thank you, Artus, again for coming. And I hope to see you again next month. So on my behalf, that is all for now. Bye.
Bye.